Well, today, we're going to continue our series that we've been in for these past few weeks. We've said that this is the year of multiplication. 2 Peter chapter 1 says that may God's grace and peace be multiplied unto you. We believe that this year God wants us to experience a manifestation of his multiplication in the form of his presence and his purpose and his promise and his provision. This year, y'all, we want to see at least 200 people give their lives to Jesus Christ. Already, we've seen at least 5 documented that we know about, and we probably have more than that. Matter of fact, last service, I saw quite a few hands go up to give their lives to Jesus Christ. We're excited about what God is doing through our church, and we believe that in Jesus' name that he's going to do even greater things. And so we want to encourage you to partner with your church and seeing that happen. And so if you're not serving on a team in this church, we want to invite you to consider serving on some different teams. And we're doing well without you, but we could be doing better with you. And I don't say that as shade. Like, God's going to get glory. He's going to do what he does either in spite of us or through us. And I've just made the decision, God, I want to be a part of whatever it is that you're doing. And so we got different ways that we want to invite you to serve, specifically with our creative team, our production team, online team, and welcome team through parking and all of that security. And so if you're interested, we want you to stick around for step 3 of the growth track today. We'll talk more about that. But in order for us to experience this miracle of multiplication, it requires us to be what this series is all about, all in. Everybody say all in.
All in.
All in. Because if we want to experience God's power in a great way, we got to be all in. This has to be the year where you say, I'm not playing any games with God. This year, I'm for real about this thing. I'm serious about Jesus. I'm not just saying I'm going to church. I want to be serious. I want to grow my relationship, because your spiritual aspect of your life is not the only important part, but it is the most important part of your life. Because if you don't get that right, nothing else will be right, which is what I want to talk about today. Last week, we talked about in the first part of the series, really about being in alignment with the heart of God and being all in on the heart of God. This week, I want to really help us to focus in on being all in on the word of God. So we're going to go to the book of Matthew, chapter 7, and we're going to look at verses 24 through 27. I want to invite us actually to stand just for a quick moment for the reading of God's word. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. It's a powerful passage of scripture here. I believe that God wants to speak to us in a real way. I need you to talk back to the preacher today, because I believe God has something that he wants to give you today. Here's what it says. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Everybody say the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded that house, yet it didn't collapse because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Everybody say sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed. It collapsed with a great crash. I want to preach from this theme of thought as we continue this sermon series today. And I want to call today's message, don't crash out. Can you tell the person that you're standing next to, hey family, whatever you do this year, don't crash out. Find somebody else across the room, say, hey family, whatever you do, don't crash out. Father, we pray that as we hear your word, that you would speak to us in a real way. Would you remove distractions, anything that would get in the way of us hearing your word? Lord, we know that your word is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is able to yield fruit in our lives. So Lord, in the name of Jesus, would you give us eyes to see and ears to hear? In Jesus' name, and every person said amen. Come on and clap your hands as you go to your seat. Amen. Don't crash out. Now, church family, many of you upon hearing these words will know what iconic fable this is from. Little pig, let me come in, not by the hairs of my... Y'all doing so much better than 9, man. Y'all got it. Well, I'll huff and puff and blow your house down. Many of us who are familiar with those words know that that comes from the fable that has been around for almost even actually more than a century, more than 100 years, known as the 3 little pigs. We know this story, many of you, I'm not sure if they still teach in the school or not, but we know this story As this story is centered around three little pigs and the antagonist, the adversary, being this big bad wolf, and how these three little pigs built their houses that they lived in out of these different materials. One built their house out of straw, and the other built their house out of, come on, sticks. Big bad wolf comes to the first two houses built out of straw, sticks. Little pig, let me in, not by the hairs of my chinny chin chin. The wolf begins to blow mightily, knocks the first house down that's made out of sticks. Goes to the next house, says the same thing. Little pig, let me in. Not by the hairs of my chinny chin chin. Put a little trap on it. Not by the hairs of my chinny chin. That's just how my mind works. Big bad wolf comes, blows his or her house down as well. And when I think about that, like many of us, I think about and I ask this question. I wonder how many of our lives have been constructed that when the winds of life and the waves of life come, do they blow our houses of lives down? It begins to cause me to ask the question, how exactly are we building our lives? Brings us to Matthew chapter 7, because here in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is concluding what many theologians refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. Sermon on the Mount is oftentimes, it's called this because of the fact that Jesus is giving this set of kingdom principles on what many believe is the backside of a mountain. And he's given these principles as a way of life for how people in his kingdom should function. He begins the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 with what's known as the Beatitudes. Blessed are you, and blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who thirst and hunger for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the meek, because they'll inherit the earth. That word blessed actually means happy. In other words, Jesus is saying, if you want to experience true happiness, you got to do it my way. So he begins the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, and he continues on into Matthew chapter 6, which is what we talked about last week, where he begins to talk about what it means to pray and to fast and ultimately what this looks like. But then all of that really comes to the conclusion here in Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus is essentially rounding off this incredible sermon, the most greatest sermon ever that's ever been preached in the history of humanity. But as he's rounding off this sermon in these particular words here at the end of Matthew chapter 7, he's giving these words that really get to the heart of what he's been saying this whole time that he's been preaching. And that is this: what is the foundation of a person's life? If you know anything about a foundation, I remember when I was an engineer in school at ODU, electrical engineering technology major, and minored in religious studies. But one of the things that we had to do during the engineering time was take these elective courses, and had to take an additional engineering class, specifically in architectural engineering. And one of the things that our professors reminded us of consistently is how the most important part of any type of architecture, house, building, superstructure, anything, is the foundation. Because the foundation of something determines its strength, because it is underneath everything. And what's interesting is that when a house is built, you can't see the foundation, but it still is the most important part of the building. It is the very thing that holds something up. And here, Jesus calls one person who hears his words but doesn't put them into practice a foolish person, because they're like the person who built their house on the foundation of sand. Verse 26, he says this: everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Now, for some of us who are in this 2025 context, let me take you all the way back to the first century context that they found themselves in. Because the context that Jesus and his hearers lived in and found themselves in, they found themselves living in what many will believe was a dry climate in like this, or in this area of Palestine, if you will. And what would happen was the ground often could not absorb large amounts of rainwater, which resulted in rapid flooding whenever it would rain, that could produce violent rivers. So to build your house on sand, which is the surface, meaning you did not go deep enough, was one of the most foolish things that you could do, because when the rains would come and when torrential storms would come and when the winds would come, you were running the risk of having your house swept away. It's very similar to what some of us might be familiar with when you see hurricanes come in and storms come in and people that may have some houses, unfortunately, in the Outer Banks and how they're constructed and how they're oftentimes built on some sand and built near the water and how when the water comes and when intense winds come, tragically, houses get destroyed and fall apart and get swept away. Jesus is saying, this is what it is like when you build your house or your life on the wrong foundation. Specifically, when you hear my words and don't follow them. And I believe, like the foolish builder who built on sand, many people today are building on shaky foundations. We live in a time where people are building their life on wealth and possessions, only to realize that it can be here today but be gone tomorrow. People are building their lives off of popularity and image, chasing likes and chasing comments and chasing followers and chasing approval, only to recognize all that can be here today and then be gone today like TikTok. May it rest in peace. And I know for some of us, you're like, oh, because some of y'all been making money off TikTok. I pray that the Lord provides in another way. But when I build my life off of something that is not sure, matter of fact, anything in this life is not sure. It is not firm. Some people are building their lives off of emotionalism. What do I mean? Living their lives based on feelings. If I feel it, then I'll do it. I just feel like. That's the thing that many millennials and Gen Zers like to say. I just feel like. I just follow my feelings. Can I help you understand something? Your feelings will get you in a world of trouble. Feelings are good indicators, but terrible instructors. We don't follow feelings because feelings change. They come and go. You can be feeling great one day, and then literally the same day, you can feel terrible. You can feel great because your team is in the NFL playoffs. And then in the next moment, your team is out. Sorry for all the Detroit Lions fans in here. My Eagles will take care of business, don't worry. I know, that wasn't spiritual, that was Edwin. Yeah. It can be here one day and go on the next. Many people are building their lives, even unfortunately, on false philosophies and religions and belief systems, New Age philosophies. People are building lives off of thinking that burning sage will help me to commune with the spiritual realm. That let me look to the stars to get direction for my life as opposed to looking to the one who created the stars. Come on. And so many times what's happening, we live in these days and these times where people are building their lives off of these things that cannot hold up. And then unfortunately, like in this account, here's what happens. Storms come. Life starts lifing. So financial crisis comes. Relational breakdowns happen. Unexpected losses happen, which then now quickly expose the weakness of the foundations of our lives. And here's what I recognize, that many people look strong and sturdy on the outside, but like the houses that were made of straw and sticks with the three little pigs, the storms and the winds reveal something different. That on the surface, it looks as if it's all good. But then when tough times come, it reveals things. And the consequence of this is lives begin to fall apart. And here's why. Because according to Jesus, there is a neglect of his word. So here's what verse 26 says. Everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Here's what verse 27 is. Can we bring it up on the screen? The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew, watch this, and pounded that house, and it collapsed with a great, say it with me, crash. Come on, can we bring it up on the screen? Crash, everybody say crash. That's the word I want you to see right there, crash. Because this word crash actually means loud in the original language of the Greek New Testament. It means loud, and here's also what it means, surprising, which means this, nobody saw it coming. And what Jesus is saying is when we build our lives on anything that's not firm, and we'll talk more about that, what that is in a moment, what's going to happen is out of nowhere, it'll all fall apart. It'll all come falling down. Let me say it like this. This house here is crashing out. That's what all the young people like to say now. He crashing out. Somebody snap on somebody. Man, they crashed out. Your boss went crazy on the job. Man, they crashed out, man. And here's what it's all about in this text. Building my life on the wrong foundation leads to a life that crashes out. Can you imagine what some of the people are saying when they witness this tragedy of a house falling apart in the midst of this storm? Can you imagine what they're saying? How many people are saying, man, do you see this house falling apart? It looked like it was good and sturdy. It was all nice and pretty on the outside. It looked like it had it all together. But the storm told a different story. Matter of fact, some of us are in that place right now because on the outside, you look nice and well put together. You got the new clothes on and you put the good deodorant on today so that way when you came in the house of the Lord, you could give off the aroma of the Lord. You brush your teeth and you put the cologne on because you say, I'm going to the house of the Lord and the Lord might have somebody there for me. Find my man of God and find my woman of God. Right? You dressed it all up and you put it all on, but if you're honest on the inside, you're falling apart. What I've learned is that all of us, myself included, we're really good at dressing up brokenness. We know how to put Maybelline on a mess. Come on here. We know how to beautify brokenness and put on a mask. But on the inside, you crashing out. Life is falling apart. I know you came in here and you're saying, we crown you King of Glory and all that, but now you're still dealing with the reality. My life has crashed out. My life is falling apart. And like the people and the person rather in this text who built his house on the sand, many people's lives are crashing out and experiencing failure and their lives are falling apart. And what this text shows us is that when our lives are not built on the right foundation, things will collapse and things will begin to crash out. Families will begin to crash out. Emotions will begin to crash out. Relationships will begin to crash out. My mental health will begin to crash out because when I'm not building on the right foundation, as Jesus says here, then I don't have any sense of sturdiness in my life. And here's the reality, y'all. Not only can some of our lives be crashing out, we live in a world that's crashing out. Theologians call this, we live in a fallen world that since sin entered into the world back in Genesis chapter 3, this world has been crashing down. This is why you have wildfires happening. This is why you have cancer. This is why you have sickness. This is why you have brokenness. This is why you have tragedies, because this world is crashing out. Matter of fact, Paul says it like this in Romans 8, that the world, all of creation, is groaning for the appearance of the Lord, because this world is crashing out. And some of us are here today and you're like, man, Pastor, not only is this world crashing out, I feel like my life is crashing out. My marriage is crashing out. My mental health is crashing out. My physical health is crashing out. Spiritually, I feel like I'm crashing out. But I want to let you know that even in the midst of things falling apart like this house in this text, Jesus still gives us hope. And it's this, that even though things are falling apart, you don't have to. I'm gonna say it again. That even though things are falling apart around you, you don't necessarily have to. And some of you are here today and it feels like life is falling apart and it feels like the ground is slipping from up under you. But Jesus is helping us to see the key to not falling apart when everything else is his word. I know some of you are like, Pastor, is it that deep? Yes, it's that deep. His word is the very thing that you need to keep your life from crashing out. His word, one word from God can change your life. Some of y'all got a story about how God's word changed your life. He spoke a word and he freed you emotionally. He spoke a word and he comforted you in a time of trouble. He spoke a word and it was a light on your path and a lamp unto your feet. He gave you a word to keep pressing on. He said that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. He said that you are forgiven, that you are love, that you are chosen, that you have been called, that you have been anointed. And some of you are here today and you can say, had it not been for God speaking a word when I needed it the most, I wouldn't be here right now. I would have been lost my mind right now. But thanks be unto God that he speaks his word, and his word has the ability to set me free. I just want to know, is there anybody here this morning that got a testimony of how the word of God came in your life and changed your life, set you free of some things, gave you some direction, gave you a sense of hope? His word. His word. His word. That's what I want you to be all in on today. His word. Get this word in you. That's what it's all about. Get this word. Because you can come in here and we can worship and we can have an encounter with God, but it's his word that anchors us. It's his word that gets us through. And what we see in this text is Jesus is giving a warning, but he's also giving this promise of encouragement. Your life doesn't have to crash out. Some of you are here today and you're like, Pastor, man, I wish I would have heard this word last year because my life been crashed out. Things have been falling apart and I don't know what to do. And some of you are like, man, I feel like Humpty Dumpty. I fell up the wall and I've been broken and can't nobody put me back together again. Can I give you some hope and encouragement that even if you're here today and it feels like your life has fallen apart, we got a master carpenter and his name is Jesus, and he specializes in putting broken people, broken things back together again. That's what he does. That's who he is. But in order to experience that, we got to do it his way. So what is the key to not crashing out? The key to not crashing out is how we respond to his word. How do we respond to his word, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. I want you to write this down. Number one, it starts with this: absorbing the word of God. You got to absorb the word. Somebody say absorb. You got to absorb the word. Here's what verse 24 says. He says, anyone who hears these words of mine. Anyone who hears these words of mine. Pause right there. Anyone who hears, which means this, I have to be in proximity to his word. I have to be around his word. I need to be submitted to his word. Meaning this, that we need to get in the word. I want you to write this down. We need to get in the word so the word can get in us. Which means every day you need to be in the word. If every day you can go on Facebook and get on Instagram, come on. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. If every day we can check our text messages and every day we can watch our favorite episode of our favorite show and every day we can binge watch this, there's nothing wrong with those things. Every day we can check who won the Lakers game last night, who won your favorite team. If we can do all those things, surely we can make time for the word of God. Every day I need to be in the word. Every day. Don't skip no day. Be in the word every day. Imagine if God skipped the day of giving you breath in your body. So if he can be faithful with the breath that he gives, surely I can be faithful with the word that he gives. Be faithful with his word. Now, by all means, I'm not condemning you saying if you skip a day or you miss a day, that all of a sudden God doesn't love you. No, that's what I'm saying. God gives grace to get back on track. But there's a difference between it just happening once every now and then and it becoming a way of life. What I'm trying to help us to do during a season of prayer and fasting is adopt a new rhythm to be in the word every day. That just as we talked about last week, praying and fasting and prayer should be a part of our daily rhythm, so should being in the word. He says, every person who hears these words, hears, which means it's in the active, which means you don't just hear it one time, you hear it on a regular basis. It's consistent. It means I'm consistently submitting myself to the word. I'm reading it. I'm meditating on it. I'm studying it. This is why coming to church on Sunday is so incredible. You've already made the greatest decision you will make all week by being in the house of the Lord so you can hear the word of the Lord. Like, praise God for that. I'm glad that you're here. And when I look out in this crowd and I will see online, and when I look at the first service and how we got chairs and chairs being pulled out constantly, here's what this encourages me with as a pastor. It lets me know, Lord, people are hungry for your word. Because man does not live on bread alone, but on every word from the mouth of God. It says every day you need to be in this thing. Every day I'm consuming it. But Pastor, I don't know where to start. That's why we give you these prayer guides. That's why we give you a scripture every single day to help you get started. This is what this means. It means that go get a Bible. It means that you should get a study Bible and get some other resources that will help you be in the word. God has made it so easy for us in 2025 to be in his word. You can carry the word with you wherever you go, in your heart and in your pockets, on your phone, on your tablet. The disciples would have loved to be in this moment. They're envious of this moment. Hold on. You mean that y'all didn't have to wait for the word to be circulated to get to y'all? You can carry it with you and you still don't read it? I really wonder what some of them would say today. Oh, but work got in the way. You ever been martyred for your faith? Well, I'm suffering on my job. Really? You ever been suffering to the point of death?
Thank you.
Right. I got to make time for his word. Because whatever is most important to you, you make time for. And so what Jesus is saying, any person who hears the word, here's what Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 1 says. It says this, he said to me, son of man, eat what you find here. God is speaking to Ezekiel through a vision. He says, eat this scroll then and go and speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he fed me the scroll. Now here's what's interesting. The scroll represents the word of God. And Ezekiel's having this vision. And he's having this encounter with God in this vision. And God says, I want you to open your mouth. And he fed me the scroll. And he says this, son of man, he said to me, feed your stomach and fill your belly with this scroll. Here's what God is saying. I want you to be consumed with my word. I want your word, my word, to be on the inside of you. Here's what he says. So I ate it, and it was as sweet as honey in my mouth. I'm going to get to that in a moment. But here's what happens. God's word is available to Ezekiel, but Ezekiel got to open up his mouth. Because closed mouths don't get fed. So God is willing to give us his word. The question is, do I have an appetite for it? And can I stay here for a moment? If you don't have an appetite, that usually means that you're sick in some way. So if I don't got an appetite for the word of God, that means that there might be some spiritual sickness on the inside of my soul. Just like physically, when you begin to lose your appetite because you got some physical sickness on the inside, such as the same spiritually. If I don't got a hunger and a thirst for his word, that means that I have been digesting, watch this, some things that have made me sick. And the reason why it's hard sometimes to have a hunger for the word of God is because we've been filling up on the candy lies of culture. And we've been filling up on all these different things of the world. And now when it's time to get into the word of God, we don't got no appetite. And then we wonder why we're malnourished and why our relationships are weak and why our emotional well-being is not maybe where it could be. Because we're not feeding on the word of God. The word says this about itself, the meat of the word.
Yes.
And what God is trying to get us to be is to be in this place where we consume the word. Because here's what you'll understand, just as Ezekiel understands. When you begin to get a taste of the word of God, you'll say what the psalm writer says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And when you get in the word, you'll begin to recognize how good the word is. When you begin to get in the word and it begins to get on the inside of you, you begin to recognize that, man, I've been missing out on this good stuff all of my life. That nothing can satisfy me like his word. So I got to absorb it means this. I got to get it in me. Bible says this, I've hidden your word in my heart so that I won't sin against you. So I got to get it on the inside of me. And can I let you know this? The enemy will do everything he can to distract you from absorbing the word of God. Watch this. Even while you're in here. You ever wonder why your phone starts blowing up when you come to church? You think that's accidental? That's spiritual. You want to know why all of a sudden your attention starts going all over the place and it'd be hard sometimes for you to focus when you come in this place on Sunday mornings when the word is being preached? It's because that's spiritual warfare. A lot of times we think that the enemy is just going to come in here and punch us in the face. He don't do that. He's crafty with it. So he'll use distractions to get your eyes off the word and to get your ears off the word. So when you're in here, this is what I say, when you're in here, lock in. If you got to do like me when you're here, put your phone on do not disturb. For the next hour and a half, or however long pastor gonna preach, don't nobody bother me. I don't want no notifications. I don't want anything competing with my hearing and attention of the word of God. So that means, hey, yo, stop the scrolling. Facebook will be there when you leave. Instagram will be there when you come back. The text message can wait. The phone call can wait. The checking of the work email can wait. The making the grocery list right here. I'm a multitask while I'm sitting still. Can wait. Come on here. Because what happens is the enemy knows if I can get you not feeding on the word of God, then when I really get you on the battlefield of life and I really start coming against you with some attacks, you won't be able to stand the test of time because the space and the time where you were supposed to be consuming the word, you were consuming other stuff. So that's why this season right now, about prayer and fasting, is about minimizing these distractions. That's getting off Netflix. That's why we're fasting from things like that. For some of you, that's advice for you. Get off of that right now. For some of us, it's social media. You're spending too much time on that. And then wonder why your mental health is the way it is. Because you're spending so much time comparing your low moments to people's highlights. You realize don't everybody share all the crazy stuff on social media that they're dealing with. They show you what they want you to see. So during the season, he says, I want you to create space where you can intentionally absorb the word of God. Get in the word. Absorb it. Get it in you. Get in it so it can get in you. Memorize some scripture. More than John 3:16. That's a great place to start. But if we haven't matured past that, we are immature. Absorb the word. But Pastor, I got a hard time remembering the scriptures. You don't have a hard time remembering sports stats. Come on here. So if I can remember the stats, surely I can remember the scriptures. Y'all not talking to me this morning. Because here's the thing. You know what this text teaches us? That's a matter of life and death. Because one house survived. The other house died and crashed. God's word and consuming it. It is a matter of life and death. This thing right here will save your life. This thing right here will preserve you and keep you from going down some path that you have no business going. This thing right here will be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Get in this thing. But it's not just enough to absorb it. Jesus says this, everyone who hears, and then also, watch what he says next, verse 24, and acts on them will be like a wise man. Amen. So it's not just enough to absorb the word. I have to apply the word. Amen. It's not enough to just hear it and know it. Because if I just know the word and don't do it, I'm no different than a Pharisee in Jesus' time. I need to follow it, which means I need to obey it and do what it says. So if the word says forgive, I need to forgive. But Pastor, you don't know what they did to me, but what I do know is your sin put Jesus on the cross, and he still said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. The word says be generous, that means obey, be generous. Word says repent, which means to turn, that means repent. Word says don't lean on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path and make it straight. Here's what this means. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own wisdom. Don't lean on your own intellect. No, you need to lean on the wisdom of God. Word says flee sexual immorality. That means flee. Run away from it, not to it. Come on, we're going to do a whole series in February about relationships, so I'm going to get into it. Run from it. Do not entertain it. Do not say, I'll leave at this hour. Run from it. If it says, do not gossip. Do not gossip. Come on here. If it says, to be patient. It means to be patient. If it means to be kind. Watch this. And when he says, love your enemies, he means that. Love your enemies. But pastors, that's so hard to do. But the Bible says that we were once enemies of God, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So if God can love us when we were his enemies, surely we can love others while they're ours. It's not enough to hear the word. We got to obey the word. It's not enough to know the word. You got to follow the word. You got to put it into practice. And many times what happens is the enemy don't have no problem with you knowing the word. Can I let you know this? He knows the word. Can I let you in on another secret? He know it better than you. The difference is he don't follow it and submit to it. I don't want to make us uncomfortable. So in other words, when you and I decide to go against God's word, we are less like our heavenly Father and more like our spiritual adversary. Which is why Jesus says to even some of the Pharisees back in their day in John chapter 8, when he was saying, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And he was talking about, your father is not the father of lights. Your father is the devil. You do what he says. So it's not enough for me to hear the word. I got to follow the word. This is why James says in James 1:22, don't be just hearers of the word, deceiving yourselves, but be a doer of the word. Meaning this, I gotta put it into practice. I want you to write this down. Because following God's word leads to experiencing the benefits of God's word. I'm gonna say it again. Following God's word, take a screenshot, write it down. Following God's word leads to us experiencing the benefits of God's word. And many times we want the benefits of the word without obedience to it. But you can't get the benefits and the blessings of it without submitting to it and aligning myself with it. Does this make sense? It means that I'm not just applying it or absorbing it. It means that I'm applying it. And here's the reason why that we need to be all in on absorbing and applying the word of God. I'm going to show you the benefits. Number one is this. The word of God, write this down, brings stability. Everybody say stability. So verse 24, notice what Jesus says, that the person who hears and follow his word is like the wise person who builds on the rock, not Dwayne Johnson, the Rock final boss from WWE. But built on the rock, this substance that does not move. In other words, Jesus is helping us to see that the house was not about the exterior of the house. It was about the foundation and what the house was built on. So Jesus is essentially emphasizing the unseen parts that nobody else pays attention to as the most important part that people need to pay attention to. He says the piece that everybody overlooks is the piece that everybody needs to pay most attention to, which is the foundation. And he says, you and I need to build our lives on the right foundation, obeying his word and through prayer and through studying scripture, because that is the thing that stabilizes us when challenges arise. And can I let you know this, that when we build our lives on the word of God, can I give you good news? It doesn't change. It's the same. That's different than the winds and teachings of this age. Winds and teaching of this age, it changes from year to year. It changes from generation to generation. But there's one thing that does not change. The flowers wither and the heavens and the earth will pass away, Isaiah says. But his word stays the same. His word is consistent. His word is reliable. Here's what Psalm 119 verse 89 says. Lord, your word is forever. It is firmly fixed in heaven. Firmly fixed in heaven. It's trustworthy. It's stable. It's reliable. Here's what 2 Timothy 3:16 says. Just want to teach you for a moment. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Here's what it says. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Can I help you understand that the word is the very thing that corrects you, that equips you, and that prepares you? God's word anchors you and it grounds you. Here's what Psalm 119 verse 165 says. Abundant peace belongs to those who love your instruction. Nothing makes them stumble. Abundant peace belongs to those who love your instruction. Nothing makes them stumble. I get excited about that because here's what this means. In this life, we're going to face a lot of trouble. That's what Jesus says in John 16. In this life, you're going to face all types of turbulent winds. Do you notice that both houses experience the same storm? So it don't matter if you got Jesus or don't have Jesus, the storm is coming. I'd rather have Jesus with the storm than not have Jesus with the storm. The storm is coming. But here's what the Bible says, that abundant peace belongs to those who love your instruction. Nothing makes them stumble. When I think about this, I think about close family of ours. I shared this in the first service a few weeks back, but some friends of ours who had been dealing with their child who had been battling health issues almost half of his life. He went home to be with the Lord. He had lost the ability to speak and to move. He was having seizures literally every day for about 7 years. And we prayed and we fasted and we were believing that God would heal him in some way, whether it was him healing him in this life or healing him in the life to come. We prayed and we fasted, believing and hoping that God would do it on this life and in this life. God decided to heal him by bringing him home with him. 4 years old, he gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was already in Jesus. But we drove up to the funeral this past weekend, and we drove 7 hours to be with them and to just connect with them and to just be a presence. And it was so encouraging to see them standing in the midst of so much suffering. There were so many people there, and people got up, and they shared about Judah, and they shared stories of interactions with him. And Timotheus and Kendra, our friends who were the parents of Judah, they begin to talk about how the only way they're making it through this season of suffering and sorrow is because of the word of God and the promises of God, that he is near to the brokenhearted, that he does comfort those who mourn, that he is with us. He says, Timotheus literally said, the only reason I'm able to stand and give the eulogy for my son is because of the word of God that's been holding us together for the past 7 years. I'm here to let you know that the word will stabilize when you go through shaky moments of your life. It holds you down and it grounds you. Because can I let you know this? Life hits hard and the enemy hits hard. But the word of the Lord will ground you through it all. When life hits, it don't matter how many followers you got on social media. When life hits, it doesn't matter how many new pairs of shoes you have. When life hits, it doesn't matter how many possessions you have. But when you have the word of God, you have something that will help you to endure no matter what it is that you're facing. When you have the word of God, you have something that will give you a sure foundation. It will ground you. It will hold you. It will keep your life together when it feels like life is falling apart. Is there anybody grateful for the fact that the word of God has the ability to hold us together when things are falling apart? Which now leads to the second thing, that the word of God not only brings stability, but it also brings safety. When we look at verse 25, it says, the rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded that house, yet it didn't collapse. I want you to notice something about the Bible. It says the rains came, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded that house. The rain came, meaning this, it came down. The rivers rose, that was beneath and around, and the winds blew and pounded, that was in front. The imagery is this, that trouble came from every direction. Have you ever felt like you were walking through a season of your life where trouble was in every single direction that you turned? Where it feels like every single moment of your life where you turned, something hard was happening. The car broke down, and then you got the flu, and then they messed up your check, and there the long line at the grocery store, and grades were dropping, and then all of a sudden you experienced some grief in your life because somebody passed away. Has anybody ever been in a season of your life where it felt like everything in your life was falling? The storms of life were beginning to pick up. Can I encourage you that the word of God, no matter the storms of life, the word of God brings us safety. Yes. That even though all this stuff was coming against this house that was built on the rock, the Bible says and gives us no indication that everything that was on the outside was coming on the inside. That even in the midst of the storm that was happening on the outside, it seems as if there was some peace on the inside of the house. That in the midst of the outside elements, that because the house was built properly, it had the capacity to protect what was most valuable in the house. And the most valuable thing that was in the house were the lives of people. And Jesus is helping us to see that when we build our lives on his word, it brings us a measure of protection. Because following God's word brings us some protection from some things. The Bible says this in Psalm 119, verse 114. You are my shelter and my shield. I put my hope in your word. You are my shelter and my shield. You guard me. You protect me. I put my hope in your word. Shelter and a shield. A shelter protects you from harm. Shield protects you from harm. Attacks that may come. Can I let you know that you might be going through a season where attacks are coming, but if you got the word of God on the inside of you, you can stand like Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6 with the spiritual armor that God has given you and stand with the shield of faith and the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God, and you can stand and fight out the attacks of the enemy. You can be safe in God's word. There is safety in following God's word. God's word will keep you in perfect peace when things are falling apart around you. Matter of fact, some of y'all can testify to this because it was the word that kept you from making some of the dumbest decisions that you could have made. It was the word that kept you from going down the wrong path. It was the word that kept you from dating that person. Come on here. It was the word that kept you from saying yes to that job that looked good even though it wasn't God. There was the word that kept you safe. You ever had a moment in your life where you're like, man, I'm glad that did not happen. I asked God for it, but it didn't happen. And in a moment, I didn't know why. But now I look back and I realize why. Thank God for safety in his presence and safety in his word. I like what Pastor A.W. Tozer, who went on to be with the Lord, says. He says, we are safe not because of our strength, but because of the foundation we stand on, God's word. God's word will keep you from falling into some ditches of life. God's word will keep you from falling into some traps. God's word will keep you on the street and narrow. The only reason why I'm here today is because of the word of God. It's not because I'm that smart. It's not because I'm that good. No, it's because of God being so good and him giving me his word. I thank God for this word. This is why Jesus says man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. If it had not been for the word of God in my life would not be where it is right now. Thank God for the safety and shelter of his word. His word will give you wisdom when you need to make a hard decision. His word will give you some insight when it comes time to make a move. His word will give you insight. You pray and ask God, God, would you give me a word about this relationship that I'm in? And then he leads you to a scripture in Matthew which says, if your eye causes you to sin, cut it out. He's speaking a word. It's time for you to cut ties with that relationship. His word, y'all, grounds us, protects us. But here's the last thing his word does. It not only brings safety, it not only brings stability, but his word also brings success. Because when you look at verse 26, notice what the Bible says here. It says that the person who hears my words and puts them into practice and acts on them is like the wise person who built his house on the rock. The rain came, the rivers came, the winds blew against that house, but that house did not fall. It did not collapse. Here's what Jesus is helping us to see, that this word successfully endured the storms that came. And that just as the house successfully endured the storm, the one whose life is built on the word will experience success God's way. And many people today are trying to be successful without God. Can I ask us a question? How is that working? Many of us are trying to win without the word. But when you try to win without the word, it only leads to a loss. It leads to disaster. But following his word leads to success. This is why God speaks to Joshua as he was commissioning Joshua to lead his people in the Old Testament. He says this in Joshua 1 and 8. The book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it day and night. Meditate means to ruminate. It means to reflect. It means to marinate. It means to consistently think about this thing. We don't have a problem consistently thinking about things. The question is, what are we consistently thinking about? This is what Paul says in Romans chapter 12. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So God here is telling Joshua, meditate on my word day and night, and so that you may carefully observe. So it's not just enough to know it and to have it. You got to obey it. So you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then, watch this, you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. God has given us the key to success in life. Follow his word. Now, I'm not talking about success, you're going to be a millionaire. That's not what he has in mind. Success in God's eyes is being in alignment and being in agreement with his will and his way for your life. It means being obedient and experiencing the fullness that he has for your life. Whatever that looks like. And I don't know about you, I don't want to be a success without God. Because you could be a success in the world's eyes, but be missing it in the king's eyes. That on the surface, it can look like you're doing a great job, but beneath the surface is hollow. Jesus calls them whitewashed tombs. It's pretty on the outside, but it's empty on the inside. Here's what Psalm 1 says. How happy is the one who does not walk in the advice of the wicked, or stand in the path of sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. Watch this. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. Verse 3, watch this. He is like a tree planted, you're grounded, beside flowing streams that bears its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, prospers. Can I let you know this? If you want to experience fruit in your life, you better start building your life on God's word. If you want to experience prosperity in your life, you better do it God's way. If you want to experience success in your life, you better do it God's way. If you want your marriage to flourish, build it on God's word. If you want your career to flourish, build it on God's word. If you want your studies to flourish, build it on God's word. If you want your relationships to flourish, build it on God's word. If you want your finances to flourish God's way, build it on God's word. If you want your emotional health to flourish, build it on God's word. If you want your mental health to flourish, build it on God's word. If you want your spiritual health to flourish, build it on God's words. Because, write this down, success comes when we submit, which means to come under, when we submit to God's word. And many of us are trying to get God to do things that we want him to do. But he's like, until you submit, your life will crash out. But if you want your life to not crash out, submit yourself and watch success come. And when you look all throughout the course of Scripture, Old Testament and New, when people stood on the Word of God, they experienced God doing great things. There was a guy by the name of Daniel in the book of Daniel. Chapter 6, he was faithful to God. There was a king that he was under, King Darius. Daniel was set up. And he was set up, and he was accused of breaking some laws. And because there had been this edict or this law put in place that the king was not aware of, which said anybody who's found to be praying and fasting to God or whatever the case may be, they would have to be punished and thrown into the lion's den. Daniel was somebody that worked very close to King Darius at this time. Him and Darius were cool. To Darius' unbeknownst knowledge, he didn't know what was going on. He was taken advantage of. And some people come to Darius and say, hey, Daniel, that guy that you know and works for you, he's praying. Remember you signed that edict that said anybody who's doing this got to be thrown in a lion's den? The Bible says that Darius was filled with grief because now he's in this situation where now he has to follow through on what he committed. Long story short, he throws Daniel in the lion's den. Bible says he didn't sleep the whole night, fasted. He didn't even eat the whole night. Meanwhile, Daniel is in the lion's den, chilling with the lion. I'm going to show you how standing on God's word causes your life to look different than other people. Because last time I checked, anybody who gets thrown in the lion's den ain't coming out of that. I don't know the last time you've seen lions. Bump all this animal planet stuff. Oh, they're so pretty and they're so kind and you can just lay on them. Let me tell you something about lions. They are predators. They are instinctual. They eat. Mufasa eats. Simba eats. Scar and Nala eats. Bump the whole I Always Wanted a Brother song from New Lion King. But the Bible says that Daniel stayed in his lion's den all night. King Darius is pacing the floor, more than likely. Sun pops up next day. He immediately goes to the lion's den. He says, Daniel, has the Lord that you serve and worship spared you? And it's almost like Daniel's like, cuckoo. Hey, Darius, your boy is still here because my God shut the mouth of the lion. Why is this so profound? Because when you build your life on the word, things that should not happen for others end up happening for you. It brings safety. It brings success. I'm going to close with this. When I think about this as well, I think about my childhood experience and for a number of years, my dad, he lived in Chicago, and I would go visit him during the summertime. Oftentimes, when I would go up there, this is in the height of the Michael Jordan Chicago Bulls era. This is like mid-90s, 91 to 97, 98, where the Bulls had a chokehold on everybody. And I remember going up to Chicago, and one of my favorite places to go in Chicago was Nike Town. It was this store where they sold all the Jordans, and it had a basketball. It was every hoop lover's dream to go there. But even beyond Nike Town, my favorite place to go to was the skyscrapers. And in Chicago, there was multiple skyscrapers. The John Hancock Building is one of the most famous ones there. But the most famous skyscraper in the city of Chicago, back then it was called the Sears Tower. It's called the Willis Tower now. And for a time, it was considered to be the most tallest building in the whole entire world. Now, Chicago's the windy city, which means that the wind is always whipping and blowing. And I remember my dad took me on a kind of excursion and a tour of the Sears Tower. And I remember we went in there and I remember being in this elevator and the elevator just kept going and going. We literally went as far as they would let us go. And I just remember that elevator not stopping, but in the elevator, I could feel it sway. Some of y'all are like, in Jesus' name. And I'm like, yo, now this time I'm like 9'10". I'm like, yo, what's happening? Last time, I'm from Virginia, buildings don't move like this. We different down there, you know? And the building is swaying back and forth. And I remember coming out at the highest floor that we can get. I don't even remember what floor it was, but it was the highest that you can go to. And I remember coming to the side of the inside of the building and looking at the window and looking down. And I could see it like plain as day, like right now. And I remember looking down, and then all you see was clouds. And you could see eventually a little bit peering through the clouds. You could see the cars. You just see a little bit of activity just moving. But at the same time, you could feel the building sway. Sway. Matter of fact, they say for people who have motion sickness, it's probably not a good idea to go that high up in the building because it's swaying. Some of you are like, Pastor, I would have gotten an elevator right then and there, going back down to the ground. And I remember one of the people were talking about how the Sears Tower could sway so much. Matter of fact, it's still there to this day, swaying, because the wind is still blowing. It's moving like this right now. How could it sway so much? Even maybe feel like it's bending a little bit, but not break. And one of the things that the tour guides will tell us is that what you don't see is greater than what you do see. That the way that this building is structured is that it has these columns that run deep into the bedrock, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of feet, much greater than the actual height of this building. And it's rooted in the bedrock. So even though it's swaying, when the winds come, when the storms come, the reason why it has not fallen down and fallen apart and broken and tipped over is because the foundation that is grounding it is greater than what you see on the surface. And when I thought about that, I think about Matthew chapter 7. Because what Jesus is saying is that the winds will blow and the storms will come. But when your life is built on my word, and when your life is built on me, it doesn't matter what's blowing against you, and it doesn't matter what's coming against you. You might sway and you might bend, but when you're built on me, you will not break in Jesus' name. No, when your life is anchored and tied and tethered to the word. Made me also think about the three little pigs again. First two built their house out of straw and sticks. Big bad wolf blows it down. Then he comes to the little piggies whose house was built out of brick. Little pig, let me in. Not by the hairs of my chinny chin chin. No, you won't. I always felt like the pig had a little attitude. No, you won't. Jump at it. Wish you would. And the wolf blows on his house, but this house is made out of brick. The house does not fall. This piggy was also so smart. Some versions of this actually say that then the wolf climbs up on top of the house to fall, to go through the chimney to get to the pigs. And that smart little piggy had a nice big boiling pot of water. That when the wolf came down that chimney, he fell into the boiling pot of the water. And the wolf that was trying to eat the pigs then eat the wolf for dinner. Because what the enemy means for evil, God will turn for good. And can I let you know, we don't have a big bad wolf that's blowing against our lives, but we do have an adversary who's throwing trials our way. He's throwing temptations our way. He's throwing troubles our way. But I hear God saying that if you will build your life on the word, if you will build your life on the solid rock, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. When you build your life on the word of God, you'll be able to stand the attacks of the enemy. You'll be able to stand the trials of the enemy. You'll be able to stand the storms of life. And I don't know about you, I don't want to build my life any other way in 2025. Other than on the word of God, other than on Jesus Christ, solid rock I stand. Is there anybody here today at the 11 o'clock service that says this is the year where I will not build my life on anything else other than the word of God? I will build my life on the promises of God. I will build my life on the word of God. I will build my life on the word that does not change, that it stays the same, because he stays the same. I want everybody to stand to our feet in this moment. Some of you are here this morning and you've been building your life. You've been like the foolish builder. You've been building it on things that won't last. But some of you, I am talking to some of you here today Your life has crashed out because you tried to do it your way. I'm not saying that to condemn you. I know what that feels like because I've done that too. And here's what I've recognized sometimes with God. Sometimes in his goodness and grace, he will allow things to fall apart in our life to show us that how we've been building was the wrong way. That's sometimes not an act of judgment. Sometimes it's an act of grace to show us that you are on the wrong path, but to also show you the right way forward. The Bible says this in the book of Isaiah, that God, this is a prophecy that God will speak to Isaiah about a time that will come. He says this in Isaiah, I think 26 to 28. He says that the Lord is laying a stone, and that whoever believes will essentially not be shaken. The Apostle Paul picks up on this in the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. And he says this, that stone was Christ Jesus, the solid rock. And the principle is this, when we build our lives on Jesus, we can experience safety, stability, success, salvation. And I'm talking to some of you here today. You've been building your life the wrong way. Your life has been crashing out. But this is the year where no longer crashes will happen. This is the year where you begin to walk in the fullness of what God has for you. So if you're here this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed, and you can say, Pastor Edwin, I'm here today. My life has crashed out. My marriage has crashed out. My health has crashed out. Everything around me has crashed out. My dreams have crashed out because I've decided I wanted to do it my own way. Today, I want to repent of that, and I want to turn to Jesus. I want to come to him. I want to build it his way. I don't want to do it my way any longer. If you're here this morning, I want you to know this. Today is the day of new beginnings. If you're ready to rebuild again and to build the right way, if you're ready to come to Christ Jesus for the first time, I want you to know today that can happen. Jesus came from heaven to earth because we were sinking in our sin. But he came from heaven to earth so that way we can build our life on him and receive the life that he came to give us, to have all of our sins forgiven, past, present, and future. He went to the cross and suffered for us. And he rose on the third day that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So if you're here this morning and you're saying, today I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. Today I want a new beginning. Today I want to begin to build my life the right way while heads are bowed and eyes are closed. On the count of three, I want you to shoot up your hands. One, this is the day of new beginnings. Two, any person who's in Christ is a new creature. Come on, if this is you, shoot up your hand. One, two, three, wherever you are, you want to give your life to Jesus Christ this morning. Come on, amen, I see your hands. Amen, amen, I see your hands. Amen, I see your hands. Come on, wherever you are, shoot them up high. I just want to see you. Wherever you are, you want to give your life to Jesus Christ today. Slip up your hand. Doesn't matter how young you are. Doesn't matter how old you are. Amen, I see your hands. Amen. Amen. For every person who has raised their hand right now, if you're in this place, online or in person, I want you to say these words after me. Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose back to life to give me new life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. I receive your word. I receive your gift of life. I repent of my sins and I trust in you. I build my life on you, the solid rock. In your name, Jesus, I pray. And every person said amen. Come on, church. I saw about five or six hands go up right now. Can we celebrate those who have said yes to Jesus today? Come on, we can do better than that. Come on, can we celebrate those who said yes to Jesus?